All right. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk, Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. Got a lot of stuff going on tonight. Crazy night in the NBA so far. Already had a couple overtime games. Of course, we still have the DeMar Hamlin still recovering from the injury on Monday night. Got a big weekend of football coming up. So got a lot going on. Joined by always by the sports judge, Jonathan Mathis. What's going on, Judge?
Hey, what's up, Chris? What's up to our national audience out there watching? Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. That's awesome. Words can express how tremendously we are excited to do this show. It's been a lot of fun since we launched this show. And, you know, it is Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. We got an action-packed show for you guys tonight. We're going to touch on Hamlin most likely again, which is an unfortunate situation, but it's the big story in the sports world right now, and it has people talking, and then you have a radio personality, or TV personality rather, that has made some controversial remarks that has just damn near broke apart the internet, so we'll get into that as well. But how you doing, Chris?
Oh, not doing bad. My Pacers blew a game tonight against the 76ers, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good. We were up by four with like 30 seconds left, turned the ball over, and ended up losing in overtime.
Ah, one of those overtime thrillers where you.
But I can't complain too much. This Pacer team's way ahead of what I expected,
yeah,
or anybody expected them to be. I mean, they're like two wins from being at the preseason Vegas win total. I mean, most people thought they'd be lucky to win 30, 35 games this season. They're right now six in the East and have a winning record. So,
and
they're playing good ball. And even when they lose, they don't quit. They compete.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they lost tonight, but at least it was a competitive game. We're not getting blown out all the time. What's a night without AD and Bron? Just need to stop turnovers. Otherwise, looking solid.
Hello, Dustin.
Yeah, I've had the game on. I've been paying a little bit of attention to it. But go ahead, Judge. What was that?
No, I was saying hello to Frankie and Dustin. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay. Yeah, I've been watching some of the Laker game. They haven't looked bad. Schroeder's been playing decent there in the first half, creating some baskets. You guys got to hope. I guess LeBron just wasn't feeling good, so he'll
be
back.
That's because the Lakers suddenly feel compelled to play basketball without those guys on the floor. They're not standing around watching. They're not being spectators. They're actually, you know, being more productive without those two guys. And they don't really have a choice but to be. So sometimes it could be a blessing in disguise when two of your superstars go down with injuries. Now, I don't like injuries. You know how I feel about it. And, you know, I feel those two guys are very important to the Lakers' success. You know, they're like a recipe to success for that team. They're a recipe for success. But sometimes you really get to see the talent and what you have from the other players and the role players when your two superstars are missing in action, because everyone else elevates their level of play and everyone else steps it up. And they take their game, you know, to the next level. That's good. That's the benefit of it all.
Yeah. No, but then before we jump into the NBA, let's talk about Hamlin to start out with. We talked quite a bit about Hamlin on Monday night. Like I said, it was a freak incident. I've been watching football for 35 years, never seen nothing like that happen on the football field. A player having to have CPR. Have heard a little bit of good news. They have been able to cut the ventilator down to just 50% oxygen instead of 100%. And there were some reports come out today that he made a little bit of progress overnight, some progress that the doctors was hoping to see. Didn't give out a whole lot of details, but just hearing some reports like that's a good sign that maybe things are moving in the right direction for him. But everybody keep Hamlin and his family in your prayers. This is going to be probably a long road to recovery.
Yes, but the positive and encouraging sign out of all of this is that he is expected to make a full
recovery. What's up, Marcus Jones?
What's up? He's expected to make a full recovery. So that's a positive and encouraging sign. You know, that's good for him and his family. You know, now he's still in intensive care. He's still in critical condition. But he is better, according to reports, he is better today than what he was yesterday. There is some good that has come out of this in terms of the empathy, the humanity, the unity, and the togetherness that we have seen over the last few days since this horrific event occurred during Monday Night Football. Hamlin's GoFundMe page hit 6 million after the safety's cardiac arrest. And that shows you that there is so much good in our society that people feel helpless, but they are willing to go out of their way to find any small way they can lend a helping hand, or that they can contribute in such a way to pay their respects to this guy. And it's just amazing to see that people are offering their prayers, are, you know, making beautiful gestures. And I'm a person, because I come from a family of faith, Chris, so I'm a person who believe in the power of prayer. And to me, prayer does change things. Being prayerful is a good way to go. And, you know, I've just been keeping him in my prayers each and every day. I don't think I've checked my Twitter or my social media applications as much as I have since the incident, because I'm always concerned and I'm always eager to get an update on his condition and how far he has come and how well he is doing. But to go back to Monday night, that was a scary, scary moment for all of us. And I'm still shaken in the aftermath of the event, you know, and a lot of people are, because it's something that you're never prepared for, you know. And now these players who witnessed this, they have to go back to playing football. They have to go on with their lives. But how do you navigate through a situation like this? How do you overcome? How are you going to be able to refocus on football after something this traumatic? Because seeing that, that's very traumatizing for a lot of us. And I know it was for me just watching from home. You know, you've seen the emotions of the players. And I just want to talk a little bit more about that, because a lot of people, you know, you hear the negativity from ignorant fans or just critics out there, and they say, well, these men are coming off as soft. You know, no, that's an abundance of humanity. You know, that these guys are tough. They're in the NFL for a reason. And so to say that they're soft, I think that's just utterly ridiculous. That's, you know, irresponsible, and it's cheap, quite frankly. And I think if a person feel that way, they should be ashamed of themselves to feel that way, because those are grown men, yes, but we all have emotions, and these athletes are not robots. They're human beings. And I just love the show of humanity that we saw from not only the football players themselves, but the coaches, the fans who have the right state of mind. And I think it's just a humane thing to do, and it's just been a beautiful sight to see.
No, it has. It's no fun to me. Page getting all the attention it has, everything that, and it's brought a lot of people together. That's all great. But here's going to be the infamous but. My only problem with it all, and I'm glad everybody's coming together. Everybody should support Hamlin, pray for Hamlin. That's all. I mean, that's all stuff we all should be doing. But it shouldn't take something like this to happen for everybody to come together. We always talk about how our country comes together in times of crisis. Well, why do we have to wait to a time of crisis to come together? Why can't? And then every other time we have to be separate, can't agree on anything. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong. I'm not going to ever talk to you again. When stuff like this happens, it shows that we can all come together. But I just believe it's something we should be doing more often than just when something bad or something horrific like this happens.
I agree with you. I'm glad you mentioned that too, because that is a perfect example of a family, right? I know people have their personal lives. They have their own families to deal with. They have things going on in their lives. So you're kind of distant from your family. And sometimes the only time you're able to get together with your family is during a challenging time, is during the most difficult times. And that's a funeral. And so sometimes when you go to a funeral, you see family members you haven't seen in years. And people are saying, well, we should talk more often. We should get together for a different occasion and not for one like this. And this is the same situation to me. I like to use this as a comparison because what you said made a lot of sense. And to your point, we are wired that way as people, for whatever reason, to come together in a time of crisis or to join hands in a time of tragedy. That is just how, you know, people are. You know, that's just human nature. That's a human instinct. And that's the same thing we do to our loved ones. You know, we wait till it's too late, or we you know, see how everyone is doing at such a dark time, like at a funeral. Everyone wants to come together and unite at a funeral. Why does it have to be at a funeral? Why can't it be at a different date or a more positive time in a more positive setting? And that's just how it is, you know. But then you have people saying at the funeral, hey, you know what? We got to do this more often. We got to have a family reunion. We got to get together. We got to have some time together. And then people just go back to their normal lives and they don't see anybody else for like another 10 to 20 years. That's just how it is. That's just the unfortunate part of life.
Yeah. I think if that would change, the whole world would be in a better place. If that would change and we would be more caring all the time, like Jones is saying right here, we're supposed to be on Team Human. And I think people lose sight of that a lot.
I think what people also lose sight of is that these athletes are human. So I think Hamlin's tragedy was a reminder that these are professional athletes. Yes, you may look up to them as a superhero or a role model, or you see them as someone of hierarchy because they have, you know, the celebrity status. But at the end of the day, they are human. They are human beings. And what we saw on Monday wasn't your typical injury, like a torn ACL or, you know, a broken bone or something of that nature. You know, over the years, we've seen, Chris, you and I have watched football for a very long time. I've written about football for a very long time. I've done podcasts talking about football. I've seen some of the most devastating injuries, some of the most gruesome injuries in sports. You've seen bones pop out of people's knees. You've seen ankles turn the wrong way. You know, you've seen some nasty stuff over the years, some hard hits that we've as people have celebrated, which I don't like to celebrate that much anymore, because you know, you have over the years, we've learned the repercussions from some of those big hits and how it can have an effect on a player after football. But this, what we saw on Monday was very unprecedented, and it was different. It was different. And, you know, it struck me differently for the simple fact that this was a man who died on the field and had to be resuscitated and had to be given a second chance at life while down on the field for such a long period of time. And that's when you knew that it was something, you know, that we've never seen before.
Well, we've seen it one, it's happened one other time. Of course, I didn't see it. It was before.
Before most of our time, right?
A guy broke his neck on the field, and they had to do CPR and stuff. And he actually ended up passing away. And they actually finished that game that day as well. But like I said, this has been years and years and years and years ago. Totally different time period. Totally different society back then to now. But overall, I thought the NFL handled it pretty well.
They handled it the best way they could.
I mean, for something there's no precedent for, I thought that they handled it well. Now it's going to be interesting to see how they handle finishing the rest of the season with getting this result for this game, because it can affect the top three seeds in the playoffs. Which so it's going to be interesting how they do that. They said they're not going to play it this week. I thought that was a good choice. But it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing with that. And then, like you said, the Bills had their first practice today. They done a walk through. I like that they didn't let no media in. Let these guys focus on getting ready for the game, not have to answer 1,000 questions about their teammate that they really can't give a whole lot of answers about, just because, they can't be there at the hospital with them the whole time, so they're finding out information just like we are. So there's no reason to put them guys through asking or have to answer 1,000 different questions that they're not going to have a whole lot of answers for, or you're setting them up to answer it the wrong way, and then social media and everybody will jump on them.
Right, it creates controversy. Right, absolutely.
So I like that they didn't have no media at the practice today, and that. They're getting ready for the game. And they have a big game this Sunday against the New England Patriots. So, I mean, that they're trying to get ready for.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard. As a human, it's really hard to escape reality, because that's what it is, right? It's reality. And a lot of those players, like particularly the Bengal players and the Bills players, they saw that all in real time. Right? They saw that all in real time. So, I mean, and this kind of stuff affects everybody differently. It affects you differently. It affects myself differently, because we all handle our emotions in different ways, right? So, I mean, today's Wednesday. NFL teams, they start prepping, you know, for the game, usually on Wednesdays. And now they have to prepare for the upcoming games, you know, but I still think, you know, a playoff berth, seeding, you know, the playoff pitcher and all of that, I still think all of that is secondary. Now, I understand as a fan, you want your football because that's your source of entertainment, and people look forward to football on a weekly basis. I know I do myself, because I'm a big sports fan. So I'm always eager to watch football. But sometimes we have to take a second, sit back and pause and realize that, you know, tragic events like this is bigger than the game of football. And
yeah, it's bigger than the game of football. Right. But I mean, you also football.
You, you got to return.
Football
to
is going to start back up at some point.
Yeah, yeah, and
you know, I mean, it's going to start back up at some point. So
right,
and they're not, and it's going to be more. It's going to be almost a week before any games are played since that happened. So I think that's what I'm saying. I think the NFL done the right thing by not playing this week. Take this week off.
Oh yeah,
you have your next game. It's about a week since everything has happened. That gives the players as much time as you can to try to get back into some normalcy, which is not easy. I mean, it's just like Luke.
Oh no, hell no.
I mean, hell, I've lost family members. I know how hard it can be to get back into your normal routine and get back to normal life. So it's not easy, but I mean, there's also a business side to the NFL where that, you know, I mean, they have to get ready for the playoffs. But I think they've handled it pretty well. All in all, and I think the Bengals, the Bills, I mean, pretty much about everybody involved, I thought handled it pretty well.
Yes, and even the broadcast team, they handled it as well as they could. You know, all of this again happening in real time. You don't plan for this. You don't plan for anything like this. So they went with the flow. You know, they had great deliveries. You know, they kept the viewers, you know, they kept the viewers in, you know, engaged in the action. And, you know, it was just, again, it was just an unfortunate night. But credit to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, who I can be critical of at times, but I mean, they were brilliant in the broadcast booth. And so I got to give them a lot of credit, at least the Salters as well. She was trying to get an update, get, you know, us the information as fast as possible. And she did everything as best as she could as well. So my hats go off to them as well for the work that they put in and everything that they had to encounter during what was a horrific night.
All right. I agree. It was crazy. Like I said, one of the craziest things I've watched live. Probably the other thing, next craziest thing I've seen live like that would probably be Owen Hart when he passed away in WWE live on the pay-per-view.
Another one that kind of ranks up there too is Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Yeah, Dale Earnhardt.
Yep.
And well, and one way it relates Dale Earnhardt to me is when Earnhardt passed away, we had seen so many crashes that looked a hell of a lot worse than the crash he was in. And then with Hamlin, we've seen so many. I mean, that looked like a routine play, basically like a routine football play.
It was a routine football play when you looked at it on video, right?
So it's like, man, I've seen people get hit a hell of a lot worse than that, and haven't got hurt, or if they have got hurt, haven't been like this serious. So, but it just
and after the tackle too, he got up just fine. And then he took a few steps and he collapsed.
But it goes back to, and I've said this before on here, kind of reinforces it. You can't count on there being a tomorrow. So live your life for today and make sure the people around you know how you feel, because you never know right, what's going to happen in the day when you wake up. But
just like
before
that
we
game,
jump into a couple.
Game changed that quick. You know, it went from a much anticipated matchup to, you know, what looked like a normal injury to a nightmare. You know, and that's how fast it happened.
Before we jump into a few sports topics, anything else on this topic that you wanted to talk about?
I just will continue to offer my prayers. I will keep him and his family in my prayers. And I know because, you know, I have a lot of faith. I know that he will pull through. I know he will.
it seems like things are moving in the right direction. So yeah, just like I said, keep him and his family in your prayers, and hopefully things keep trending toward the right direction here.
Right.
Dustin had asked a question here. Said this for Gonzo. What are your thoughts about Sean Payton being the favorite for the Colts job and possibility of Peyton Manning coming in as OC? Do you think Derek Carr follows? I do. I think Sean Payton would be a great pickup for the Colts if we can get him. I'd love him being next head coach. I know Payton don't have no experience, but I think he could be a good offensive coordinator as well. I mean, just look at the way Payton played the game. That's how planning and knowing what the defense was going to do and being able to get in the right plays. And then I said this last night on Unscripted, and I know some people's not going to agree with me, but they were asking me on Unscripted last night if I thought who the Colts was going to take with that number 5 pick and if I thought they should take C.J. Stroud. And I told them, I said, I would rather see the Colts move back in the draft, maybe get some more picks, work on getting your offensive line, maybe another receiver, and try to get Derek Carr in as your starter for next year. I'm not impressed enough with C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young that I would use a top 5 pick on them, because I don't think either one of them are going to be ready to come in and play in that first year. I think they're going to be guys that, and this is just my opinion, more, I think they're going to need some developmental time. So if you're going to do that, it kind of depends on what the Colts want to do. Do you want to go to a full-out rebuild, or do you want to bring in a new coach, try to get some position players that you think you need, and then try to get a quarterback like a Derek Carr or maybe a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody like that, and see what you can do that way? Or do you want to go into more full rebuild mode? If you're going into more of a full rebuild mode, yeah, you might take a quarterback with that top 5 pick. But I just don't believe either. I just don't believe there's a quarterback in this year's draft that I would use a top 5 pick on. What are your thoughts on the C.J. like this? There's some reports that came out, Judge, that C.J. Stroud, after his performance the other night, is now the favorite to be the first quarterback drafted in the draft. I think at number 1 or 2 or whatever. Do you think Stroud or Bryce Young are going to be the transcendent player that you would take with a top 5 pick?
I like Bryce Young better. I think Bryce Young has shown those flashes of maturity. He has shown flashes of maturity. I think we all know that he has proven himself as one of the more elite quarterbacks in the country. I think his game is a more polished. And that's not me taking anything away from C.J. Stroud. I just think that if you are in desperate need of a quarterback and you are looking to draft the best quarterback in the upcoming NFL draft, I think to me it would be Bryce Young. That's me. You know, Dustin is saying Max Duggan as well.
That's what I was going to say. I agree with Dustin on this. If I'm the Colts, if I'm taking a quarterback, I'm going to move back and take a Max Duggan or a Levis or somebody like that in the late first round or early second round instead of using a top 5 pick for a quarterback. I think Max Duggan he might not be able to come in right away, but he's going to be a guy I think could be a good quarterback in the league.
It could. And we've seen this over the years with some of the top notch quarterbacks that expect to make a lot of noise when they, enter the NFL. Turns out those are usually the ones that sometimes become busts, or they just underperform so bad that quarterbacks like Max Duggan, if he's taken in the later rounds, will be the one that outperforms and outshines the guys that got drafted in the first round. So, I mean, it could go either way. You know, Max Duggan could be the better quarterback than C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or any of those guys.
And then people say, well, the Colts need to draft somebody. They've tried to free agent quarterbacks and it hasn't worked. Okay, I understand they have the last 3 years. They brought in Phillip Rivers. They made it to the playoffs. Should have beat Buffalo that year in that game of the first round of playoffs. But since then, it really hasn't worked out. But the guys you brought in, and went good. Then you bring in Ryan, that's older, almost done. Derek Carr's not—he's not at that stage of his career like Rivers and them guys were, where they're almost done. He's still putting up good numbers at playing good football. Did he have his greatest season this year? No, but new coach, new coordinator. Look how many times he's had new coaches and new coordinators. He's had the luxury to be in one system for a long time either. I think Derek Carr can still play at a high level, so I wouldn't be mad at all if the Colts end up trying to get Derek Carr and were successful at getting him. And I think Sean Payton would be a great hire at coach.
Yeah, but that has not worked for them. That has not been a recipe for success. And what do we say if you continue to do the same thing over and over again?
Judge, it's not the same thing, though. It's not the same thing because Rivers was like 40 years old. Ryan is almost 40 years old. It's the same thing in going in free agency and getting a guy.
You're getting a guy
that's more in his prime than what you are getting a guy that's already basically on his way out of the league.
Right, but would I be able to trust in Derek Carr to lead my offense? You had offensive line issues all year. That's what I'm saying, though.
If you bring in a guy like Derek Carr, you can use your top five pick, or you can move back and get more picks and use your picks to try to improve that offensive line.
True, but he's going to need a great offensive line in front of him because it would be just like playing, in Vegas. It'd be deja vu all over again.
I don't understand all the Derek Carr hate. People act like Derek Carr's trash.
You heard me on numerous occasions on this show and on other shows as well say how unappreciated and how unvalued, how undervalued Derek Carr is as a quarterback. You've heard me say that countless times. This was a horrible season for Derek Carr. Derek Carr hit an all-time low with his play on the field. It was a frustrating year for him. And it's crazy that it came in a year when he reunited with his former college teammate, Devontae Adams.
But he also had a coach that a new coach learning a new system, which is supposed to be one of the most complicated systems to learn. That was the excuse everybody used to say about rookie receivers going to New England. It was because the offense was so complicated to learn.
But now here with the Colts, Derek Carr would have to learn. Let's say if they get him in free agency. Derek Carr will have to learn a whole new playbook. He will have to gain new knowledge. Learn a whole new system, and that's been his whole career. That's been the man's entire career is learning new playbooks.
Yes.
Having to gain knowledge.
What I'm saying. And look at the numbers he's still been able to put up. That's why I don't think he's done. And right. I think McDaniels was just him and McDaniels was a bad fit together. I think if you get him with the right coach, he can still be successful.
And Derek Carr has been in the middle of a number of rebuilds. He has seen coaches come and go. That's been the man's career. That pretty much, tells us everything about Derek Carr and what he has gone throughout his entire career. So, some of it's not his fault. And then, he's responsible for some of those, failures as well. And for the way the Raiders performed on the field as well. So, it goes hand in hand, you know.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
But I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts do sign him in free agency. I mean, that's been, you know, who they are lately. That's been what they that's been how they you know go about things in recent memory. So it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. No. I mean, they might draft a quarterback with that number 5 pick that where they're sitting at right now, but I think you might see them try to get a QB in free agency, whether it's Carr, maybe a Garoppolo, or somebody like that. But it's going to be interesting to see here over the next few months once we get through the playoffs and the Super Bowl and everything and get close toward the draft. Eagles are going to start Jalen Hurts. They're planning on probably starting Jalen Hurts on Sunday. If you're the Eagles, do you play him in this last regular season game?
Now you play him. Now, yes. You must play him now. Because this will determine seeding, and this will determine where you will position yourself for the playoffs. So, yeah, I think you gotta play him. We've seen Gardner Minshew enough already. Jalen Hurts needs to be back out there on the field. And I think he will play. I mean, it's not like it's a concussion or something, you know, seriously. Like, it's not a serious injury. It's a shoulder injury. And I think the fierce competitor that he is, he wants to be back out on the field. And, you know, he's clearly the reason why the Eagles have had the season that they've had, because he's had a terrific season. And he's, you know, everything for that offense.
Yeah, I think it all depends on what the risk is that he could injure that shoulder more. How healthy is he? If he's close to being 100%, I'd say yeah, you play him because you want to try to get that number one seed and everything. But if you think there's a good risk that if he took a hit that it could affect that shoulder more, I think you don't play him because it's his throwing shoulder. So yes, he's great with his legs, but he also needs to be able to throw the ball. But I agree that they're going to play him because you want to stay at that number one seed, and you don't want to drop down. So I think they play him, but the only thing I would caution on is if the only way I wouldn't play him is if I thought there was a big risk of him getting hurt more. But really, you can be 100% healthy and go out there and get hurt. So it's a risk you got to take, especially at this point in the season when you're trying to get that first round bye and home field throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, he'll play this week. It's a pivotal game. There's so much at stake. I don't see why he wouldn't play. I think the Eagles would be crazy not to let him go out there and play. And like you said, you want to stay on top. You want to keep that number one seed. You know, you win, you keep that number one seed. You control your destiny right now. So, I mean, you know, there is so much on the line. And the Eagles want that number one seed. And Jalen Hurts being out there on the field, that would, you know, solidify their chances. That will give them a better chance to win the football game.
And let's see. What do you think? We got another big game this weekend. You got the Lions and the Packers. Packers win. They make the playoffs. Lions win. They need Seattle to lose, and then they would make the playoffs.
The Packers have built momentum. And they have found a way to win football games. I don't see them losing against the Lions. I think they're going to win. And you know what's really scary is that this team, given the season that they've had, the up and down year that they've had, this team is one win away from making the playoffs with a future Hall of Fame quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who hasn't had a great season by his standards at all. You know, he's had probably one of his worst seasons, if not the worst season of his NFL career, and he still has a chance to get his team to the playoffs. You know, and he hasn't even played at an MVP level. But what's been the difference for the Packers is that they're getting takeaways, you know, and their defense is making big stops. You got Jair Alexander, there I go again, who's making plays in the secondary. He's been a playmaker out there. You know, he's a ball hawking defender. He's also a trash talker. We all know that about him. But that's what's been the difference of late for the Packers is that defense and Aaron Rodgers, you know, building chemistry with one of his young receivers and Christian Watson, who's been huge down the stretch as well and has been able to make some plays as well. So I think the Packers will continue this trend, and I think they will win against the Lions. They know that if they win, they're in, and they know how important this game is. I think they'll get the job done against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to win this game. But I'll tell you what, Green Bay would be a scary team to have to play right now if you had played them first round of the playoffs. It's a team that, like you said, has struggled most of the year, and they seem to start gelling, and they're playing their best football here, it seems like, at the right time of the year. Like you mentioned, Christian Watson, he's really stepped up the last few games after having a terrible start to the season, dropped a wide-open touchdown pass on the first pass thrown to him in the NFL. It seemed like it took a while for him and Rodgers to get on the same page. But the biggest difference to me for the Packers here the last few games is, one, I think their offensive line's played a little bit better. But two has been their defense. Like you said, defense getting turnovers, but the defense has stepped up and played better. Their secondary has played better. They've been able to have a resemblance of a pass rush. And if this defense can play at the level they've been playing at the last few games, I think Green Bay could be a scary team to have to play, because, like you said, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback over there in Rodgers, and if you give him some chances, odds are he can take he's going to take advantage of him. I know he's had his struggles in the playoffs as well, but I think the Packers win this game, get in the playoffs, and I think it's going to be kind of
interesting
that you could see kind of interesting and funny that you could see Aaron Rodgers and both Tom Brady find their way into the playoffs in seasons that their teams haven't looked up to their standard. But I wouldn't want to play either one of them in the first round of the playoffs, just because of who, you know, I mean, we know what greatness they're capable of.
Yeah, well, maybe they found a new formula, because in previous seasons they have overperformed, and this season they have underperformed, and maybe they'll go into the playoffs and overperform. Something they haven't done in the past few years.
Because I'll be honest with you, if I'm the Cowboys, I don't want to play Tampa Bay that first round of the playoffs. I've seen Tampa Bay struggle this year, but I also know what Tom Brady's capable of, and what if Tampa Bay's defense steps up, what that team could do. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm ready for the playoffs to get here. Going to get to see some good, a lot of good games. I mean, you don't have that one big favorite that everybody thinks going that, oh, this is a for sure Super Bowl champion. Hey, Glenn, good evening.
I agree with Dustin.
Glenn, good evening. Thanks for joining us, man.
What's up, Glenn? Thanks for checking in. Thanks for watching the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, if they had to play San Francisco first round, I think San Francisco beats them. I've been high on San Francisco all season. I have San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Bully them. They will bully them like a kid that stuffs someone's locker, man. They would go ballistic.
I have San Francisco and Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. And Judge knows I've been saying that for weeks now, especially San Francisco. I jumped on the Cincinnati train a little bit later, but San Francisco, I was on them basically as soon as they went back. Had to go back to Garoppolo just because of that defense. I know that defense didn't play great last week, but they were able to find a win. Brock Purdy, he's not playing great, but he's doing enough, not making the big mistakes. And that offense, with all the weapons around him, that's all he has to do. He don't have to try to do too much. So I really like that 49ers team. To me, I have them as the favorites in the NFC. But like I said, there's not one team that you can just say is going to dominate their way to a Super Bowl. I mean, AFC, you have a lot of different teams. You have the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals. I mean, you know what I mean? You have a lot of different teams, I think, that could have a chance. And in NFC, I think, is the same way. So I think these playoffs coming up have the chance to be one of the better years that we've seen here recently.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be filled with suspense, drama, excitement, electricity. I mean, you're gonna have it all. This is gonna be a great playoffs, and it's gonna be one that you don't want to miss for sure.
Oh no, I agree. And like I said, you got the Patriots this weekend against the Bills. Patriots win, they get they'll get that seventh seed in the AFC.
And we all know, Chris, the playoffs is all about matchups. The playoffs is all about matchups.
But I think the Bills beat the Patriots this week. And I know it's going to be a tough week for the Bills going into this game. But also, you can also see in times like this where teams can gel together. And go out there and perform. They're going to say they're playing for their teammate. I think the Bills are going to go in here, and I hate to say it, but I think they might blow the Patriots out. I mean, we've seen when tragedies has happened. Look what happened when you had the big hurricane there in New Orleans, and then they came in their first game back, and it was like the ball bounced. It was like the football gods made sure the ball bounced their way. You know what I mean? It just seemed like the momentum of the game got. And I think that might happen kind of this Sunday in this Buffalo and New England game.
It could turn out that way.
And because Buffalo's still playing out a chance for some, and Buffalo's still playing out a chance for a number one seed.
Right.
And like you said, you know, I mean, they're going to be emotional. They're going to be playing for their teammate. It's going to be interesting, but I think Buffalo's going to come out and surprise some people and play better than what a lot of people think.
And we talked about that earlier, right? How tragedy can bring people together, and that could bring a team closer together. And yes, they will be playing with heavy hearts because they're thinking about their teammate, and they will have that attitude that we're going out there to win this for him. So yeah. Buffalo Bills may play a lot better than people expect them to play, because a lot of people think that their head's not going to be in it, that they're not going to be fully invested in football, given what just happened. And then, you know, a lot of people feel that, you know, they're getting back on the field too soon. But like you said, they could be the team that surprises a lot of people now, and they could be the team that even end up in the Super Bowl, you know. They could be like the New Orleans Saints, like you just mentioned that year. That was back in.
Oh, and they have the talent on that team. I mean, everybody's had them. A lot of people had Buffalo in the Super Bowl all season.
Or I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but they could be like the 2017 Astros. Remember Hurricane Harvey?
Yep.
And Houston was underwater. Yep. And their baseball team ended up winning the World Series. But, I mean, I didn't want to bring up the Astros because we all know their history, and we all know about their shenanigans and about their cheating habits and whatnot.
And yeah, Dustin says Buffalo can't get number one seed unless they finish the Cincy game. Yeah, y'all know that. I think they're going to end up finishing that game because of that, because I don't know. I don't know what other thing you're going to do that's really fair to everybody where to not. Because if they don't finish that game, Kansas City could be 14-3. Buffalo could be 13-3 because they played one less game. But I think they're going to – NFL is going to come up with a way to finish that game next week or sometime. And that way all the teams play the same amount of games and they can figure out that number one seed. Because you know, Buffalo is not going to be happy if. I mean, you're basically punishing Buffalo for one of their players getting tragically hurt by you don't get to get the number one seed because we're not going to finish that game. So not only did you lose one of your players, and he's in critical condition, then you know what I mean. So to me, you're punishing him twice. Dustin says, "How can they?" I think what you could do play it. Maybe like next Thursday, push the playoffs back a week. You have that week off before the Super Bowl, so you wouldn't have to move the Super Bowl. You just wouldn't have 2 weeks in between the last playoff game and the Super Bowl.
Right. That was so that, I think that's you just, what I was thinking too.
Just push that back a week. Play that game like next Thursday night, next Saturday night or something like that. Finish that game and then start the playoffs basically 1 week late, but you wouldn't have to move the Super Bowl. You would just be pushing the other things back a week, and you wouldn't have the 2 weeks between Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that's how you could do it. But hey, they might not do that. Well, this year they're not doing like a Pro Bowl game. They're doing some kind of Pro Bowl just contest stuff, so they could figure that out. But we'll see. They might not. They might cancel it. But to me, I think you're.
Someone was saying they could make it where it's a tie. I heard someone saying that.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I heard that, but
it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do.
I think Dustin said that the other night on the show. I believe he said that they can make it to where the game ends in a draw.
Yeah, you would have other teams get extra days off. That's the thing. I don't know if there's any like fair way to do it, but under these circumstances, you just have to do the best you can do, and it might not seem fair to some people, but you just got to do as best as you can, because like I said, we've never had this first time we've had anything like this happen in forever. So,
life is not fair.
There's not a really precedent for it.
Life's not fair.
Oh no, yeah, I mean yeah, but you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah. Yep.
But all right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here tonight?
One last time before we get out of here, I just want to send my thoughts and prayers to DeMar Hamlin. I'm thinking of the race car driver, Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just want to send out my thoughts and prayers to him and his family. In these difficult times, you know, and I just encourage everybody out there, keep praying. And this is not me trying to shove prayer into your face, because I get it. Some people don't believe in prayer, but I do. And a lot of other people do as well. There's an army of us who believe in prayer. So we're going to keep praying for DeMar Hamlin. And, you know, we're going to wish him and his family the best regards in a time like this. I pray for comfort, healing, and peace, you know. And so he can live a quality life again and not have his life cut short. You know, we want him to pull through and remain strong. we everyone needs to remain strong, and he'll be all right. He'll be all right.
No, I agree. Keep praying. Like I said, we hope we keep hearing progress is being made, even if it's slow progress. That's any kind of progress is great news. We will see you guys on Friday, 11 Eastern, to join us Friday night. We'll talk about this weekend's football games. Another update on everything going on with DeMar Hamlin. So join us Friday night for that. Please hit that subscribe button on YouTube at Gonzo Sports Room. I'd greatly appreciate it. Also, like and follow us on Facebook and Twitch as well, and on Twitter, Instagram, all social media. That's where I post everything about the Gonzo Sports Room Network and all of our shows. Also, hit that subscribe button on YouTube for the All Sports All Plays Network. We got a lot of great shows going on over at ASAP. I got the ASAP Afternoon Blitz, 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. So come join me for that. Got a morning show. Got a lot of great talented guys over there. Jonathan's on some of the ASAP shows as well. So make sure you check them out. Also, don't forget, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, myself and the stat guy, Dustin Reese, we'll be on with our baseball show Around the Bases. I know there was some free agent signings and stuff to happen this evening, so I'm sure we'll be talking about that tomorrow morning. And then, like I said, we'll be back Friday night at 11. But we appreciate everybody watching. Hope everybody has a great night, and we will see you guys Friday night for another episode of Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk. Have a great night.
Peace.